Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor. Coach, do you have program updates for us, if I can talk correctly?
Yep. You know, Monday morning, guys were working out this morning as a team, which is always super cool to know that our guys are, you know, still staying united with obviously all this going on in the country. So that was good. And, you know, we'll have our weekly check-ins with the guys. So hopefully all is going well with their academics. But, you know, I'm assuming that they're going good and, you know, just excited to attack another week. So.
Now, I know that you kind of monitor academics as the season is going along and stuff. Is it harder to do that now with the way things are going?
Not really, because we still get the progress reports. You know, we still meet once a week with our guys via FaceTime, so we see them and we can talk to them about their academics. So, you know, with the technology, it's been, knock on wood, it's been okay so far. But again, at the end of the day, you know, we'll find out once the final grades come in. So I'm hoping that our guys are, you know, taking it seriously and understanding how important it is for us to perform in the classroom. So,
awesome. Well, let's jump into fan questions this week, and we start with Chris, who says, "Coach, I don't think anyone has asked you this, but how are your parents doing?"
Oh, Chris, man, first of all, thank you for asking. They're doing good, man. They're down in Port St. Lucie, Florida. You know, they're pretty active for being retired. They're pretty active people, so this has kind of put a damper on things, but it's okay. You know, it's kind of forced them to do some different things. You know, my mom is always into the church, so she'll go out there usually before this all happened, two times a week, you know, if it's crocheting or feeding starving children or whatever it is, but they can't do that anymore. So she's just been crocheting from home and dropping things off, and then she's been doing her morning walks, which is good for her. And then my dad's super active. You know, he's always into the yard. He always, wherever we've lived when growing up, always had the best yard on the block, always. Just super competitive, right? Greenest grass, the edged all night. So, I mean, he's keeping himself super busy, but he's taking up actually a new hobby of painting, which is kind of cool, man. So not too many things I haven't seen that guy do. He picked up a guitar, kind of taught himself how to play a guitar in the 60s, and now he's picking up painting in the 70s. So they're doing good, besides not trying to kill each other for being married for 41 years. But, you know, other than that, they're doing well. So thanks for asking, Chris. I appreciate that.
I need to put in my order for a crocheted Hamline University blanket. We turn to Ray, who says, "Coach Taylor, how do you rate the progress of the program since your time taking over the team as head coach to where it is at now?"
That's a good question. And just thinking about it, you know, I almost answered it from the time I got here, but that's not the question. I took over as a head coach. So I would say, you know, when I took over, our program, I was actually looking at some stuff the other day. We had 83 guys on the roster, and you probably wonder why I'm not bringing that up. You know, why not just go straight off what the record is and where we're at? But, you know, the numbers matter. You know, the strength in numbers, just from even a way that you can practice. So, you know, being first year in 2016, having 83 guys, very heavy senior-laden team, you know, and the best year that Hamline football has had since 1995, you know, that's a direct correlation. So in 2017, numbers dropped for whatever reason, coaching changes, turnover really hurts you. Like I pinpoint and try to look back on certain things of why. You know, why are we at where we are? And, you know, a lot of different things. Sometimes it's out of your control. I mean, you have coaches coming in and out. You know, you don't do a good job with the recruiting standpoint because, you know, a coach is looking for another job. That hurts your program, man. So this is the first cycle, you know, where I finally feel like, you know, we've got the right coaches in place. And if everything pans out, you know, we're going to be in the low 80s this year, man. So that's the first time we will have been in the low 80s since that 2016 season. So to answer your question, as far as wins and losses on the field, you know, we're not where I would like to be, but as far as building a program, we're getting it to where it needs to be, and we'll be able to sustain it if we can keep guys, you know, in the program and continuity with the staff and, you know, just get the right kind of kids, man, that want to be at Hamline and love the Twin Cities and want to play in the MIAC, man. I feel like we're trending forward and positively and on an upswing. So it's a good question.
You know, one thing you've talked to me about over the last few years has been that when you first became head coach, you didn't spend as much time directly in recruiting because you were trying to coach more, and you've realized that you have to be. Recruiting is kind of one of maybe the most important job that you're kind of doing right now. So do you feel like that's because of kind of the transition and where you've seen yourself grow as a coach, it's helped to improve the numbers as well?
Yeah, and you know what, having a highlight, and you know, not to be a micromanager, But just even with the, even our last 2019 class, and then obviously this class, and even the 2018, but just knowing, you know, where every assistant coach is with their guys, me having direct contact with those guys, which I didn't, we definitely didn't do that when I took over in 2016, definitely not in 2017. So just, you know, I guess you could say micromanaging recruiting a little bit more, which ideally you don't want to have to do, but this is the lifeline, then I need to have my arms around it all the time, and that's the way it'll be moving forward. So, and it's producing, you know, like I said, hopefully, you know, we got a lot of kids say they're coming, and we'll see. Hopefully that holds true in August, depending on what happens with this whole pandemic. But we've done a nice job in recruiting, and I tip my hats off to the assistant coaches for identifying them and staying on them and identifying good talent. And then, you know, just, you know, me grinding out, you know, on a Monday, I'm calling all of this coach's recruits, or on a Tuesday, it's the next coach's, or Wednesday. So is it hard? Yeah. You got to stay very organized, but that's the way it's going, man. Like, and I don't know how some other schools do it. I'd love to talk to some of the other schools and see how they do it, but it's just a straight grind at this level, you know, because you're talking to so many kids. So.
Ray would also like to know, what are some goals you have set in terms of markers that will tell you the program is headed in the right direction at the end of this year, 2 years from now, and maybe even 5 years from now?
So for markers, absolutely. So markers at the end of this year, meaning, and I'll take this as the end of this, do you think it means at the end of the season?
I'm assuming so. Yeah, I would figure.
Yeah. At the end of the season, you know, I'd love for us to be, you know, and I'll keep it from a number standpoint, because at the end of the day, you know, records, you know, are going to be records. Like, you got to go out and you got to win those games. But I can talk about, you know, tangible things that I can hopefully control now. I'd like to see us, when the season's over and our guys, our seniors graduate, I'd love for us to be in the 60s, the 60 guys on the roster, you know, at the end of this season. Actually, I'd say in the 70s, because, you know, if we do everything the right way, we only have six seniors. And if we're in the low 80s, I'd love for us to be in the 70s going into the offseason, going into 2021. 2 years from now, man, I would love to say, you know, we're in the top four. You know, we're in the top four in the league, man, as far as competing on the field, as far as records. Our record is in the top four. With the conference, and, you know, obviously everybody knows how good this conference is. So I think in 2 years that would be a tangible goal. And then I'd say in the next 5 years, man, we're competing for MIAC championship. And that's, you know, that's been the goal since I've gotten here. You know, not necessarily, I don't know if I've necessarily taken the correct steps. You know, like, again, like we talked about a couple minutes ago, you know, recruiting's got to be at the forefront. Now that is, and that's all we do. I'm not coordinating the side of the ball. You know, I will coach the special teams, but, you know, when you're coordinating, that takes a lot of time. You know, that takes a lot of time and effort. So, I mean, I've given that up since 2018. So, you know, we're just moving in the right direction. It's about building a program. I really like where our program is at right now, as far as the kids we have in it, the kids we have coming, the coaches we have on staff, how they're tenacious in recruiting. Like, we can really build this thing in a really cool way at Hamlet, man. So, I'm excited.
Well, I'm going to be on the sideline for that playoff game, too. I'm count on that. All right. Lane says, it seems like you have the support of the athletic director and the school president. I will assume that means they see the positive direction the program is headed.
Yeah. I mean, starting with President Miller, I mean, the cool thing about us is, you know, our athletic director, Mr. Verdugo, and President Miller, they work super close. Mr. Verdugo is one of the – I mean, again, I've been at some really prestigious schools with some sharp people. He's really good, man. He sets a standard, holds you accountable. It's a guy you can talk to, demanding, but he's smart, sharp. And, you know, he and President Miller communicate, you know, very often. So, you know, just, you know, the communication I have with President Miller and Mr. Verdugo, I mean, always lets me know that, you know, they have faith in me. They know what we're doing, and that matters, man. If, you know, if you get to a situation where you can see it writing on the wall, then you're going to just, you know, throw your hands up or you're going to leave. But I want to be at Hamlin. I want to get this thing fixed. I want to make both of them proud. And Mr. Verdugo is, I mean, it's kind of crazy, man. Like, he lives and dies with every Hamlin event. And, like, I'll go to a basketball game, and sometimes I'll watch him, man, and we'll miss a free throw or we'll make a, you know, you can just tell that he is 100% invested in every sport we have, man. So working for a guy like that is super cool, man. He wants nothing but the best for our Hamlin football players and all of our athletes at Hamlin. And President Miller's the same way. She's at all of our games. I've seen her at gymnastics, baseball, softball, hockey. I mean, she flew out to the national championship game out in Vermont. I mean, she's all over athletics. So working for two people like that, which is one of the main reasons why I stayed here. It's a blessing. So for I want to reciprocate that. You know, we want to get this thing fixed. You know, so we do. I feel like we do have the support of those two important people on campus, and I want to make sure that we make them proud.
Sean says, Coach, what did you think about the NFL draft and how it was run, or did you not watch?
Oh, no, man. I mean, I'm glued to it, man. Glued to it. Just, you know, obviously there's no sports on right now, so, I mean, that was a big thing. Because usually I think NFL kind of fights maybe with Major League Baseball, maybe even the NBA playoffs, I think. But
yeah.
I mean, none of that on right now. So, yeah, I was glued to it watching it. I know I'm probably going to get some Eagles questions or some more draft questions. But, yeah, I kind of watched it. You know, it's pretty cool to see these young guys' dreams. You know, as a young kid, you know, I remember saying, man, I'd love to play in the NFL. You know, I would love to play in the NFL. Man, you had 255 young people. Their lives changed over a three-day weekend. So that's pretty doggone cool, man. So I'm excited to see how those young people can compete for jobs when we get back to playing, and you know, see how they do.
We return back with our buddy Andre, who says, Coach, what about your assessment on our Eagles picks from the draft?
Dre, every time you call in, I'm always going to think about a cheesesteak. I would love to get a cheesesteak. I would love to get one off of South Street and from Jim's, but that's not going to happen. Anyway, Eagles draft picks. I really wanted us to get, the kid from either the receiver from Oklahoma or Alabama, which we didn't get. And we took the kid from TCU, who's good, a little bit smaller. I thought we could have went after the kid from LSU, though, after we didn't pick after we didn't get a chance at the Oklahoma. I thought we were going to be able to get a chance at the kid from LSU. But we took the TCU receiver, which is fine. And then they went Jalen Hurts, so I'm just a little bit – again, I'm not in the day-to-day, so what the heck do I know? But, you know, you're just looking at from a team from afar, you're like, man, you know, we have a quarterback and we had a backup, so I don't know why they took him. But, hey, I'm sure they have a great reason. Doug Peterson's a great coach, so I'm sure he's going to use him. And maybe the way that Sean uses that other backup quarterback down there. So he's a winner. He's been through a lot of adversity. So I'm assuming that, you know, it's going to be a good pick for him. And he's going to bring, there's certainly a level of toughness you need to play in Philly. And he has it, you know, from all the stuff he dealt with at Alabama and then going to Oklahoma and performing. So, you know, at first, not super fired up, but again, I feel like it'll end up being a decent deal for us.
Well, he did ask you about Jalen Hurts, and the part I think that was kind of curious is he would like to know, do you think he was drafted to be moved to another position because they have a franchise quarterback?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. I think the kid looks at himself as a quarterback. So I don't, and obviously they would know that. So I'm going to assume, though, maybe bring him in to win the second job, to start the backup job. And Winston, knock on wood, but Winston's been hurt. So, you know, maybe you want to have a guy in there that's athletic and can do the thing. So the more and more I talk about him, and maybe it's not a bad pick, you know, but I think you're going to see him out there in some certain situations. I know, again, like I said, just kind of following Doug Peterson from afar and Andy Reid, I mean, them dudes, they think outside the box, and so they're going to find a way to use him and use his talents and his smarts and his toughness. So, you know, when I first saw it, I said, what are we doing? But now the more I'm talking myself into it, I can see how it can be a good pick. So.
Jim says, I find it interesting that the Packers took a quarterback with their first-round pick. Do you think that the writing is on the wall for Aaron Rodgers?
No, man. I think that's just, you know, again, being smart, understanding the NFL. You're one play away from the career being over. You got to have people, man. You got to have a good backup. And it's the same situation when Rodgers came in for Favre, well, got drafted and Favre was there. Like, you got to look for the future. I mean, nothing lasts forever. I mean, look at the Patriots, right? That thing's over. I don't even think they took a quarterback. So you always got to have somebody waiting and lurking in the wings, you know, especially in the NFL. I mean, that league stands for not for long, you know. It's not National Football League. It's not for long because you're one play away. Coaches, players, administration, everybody. I mean, everybody's expendable at that in that league, so.
Dan says, there are so few Division III players who make it to the NFL. Is that talent? Is it size? What do you think is the separation between a Division I and Division III player?
Wow. Well, St. John's had a kid drafted in the fourth round this year, so their offensive tackle got drafted, which you don't see much. So that's pretty cool for my act to have that kind of talent come out. And we've had, and in my 8 years here, we've had, you know, I think St. Thomas had a tight end that made it to the Bears camp. Anthony Hill, a kid that played for Hamlin for since 2013, and his senior year was 16. He got in. He got into the Vikings camp. You know, so we've had kids, get some shots. But I think the biggest difference is the talent and who you're playing against. You know, you're playing against if you're playing in the SEC and you're playing against SEC talent every week. That's different from playing against the WIAC or MIAC talent every week. So I think that is a big thing of who you're playing against. Besides, there, as you can see, St. John's, that was a large man. He was Division I size. So you're going to have that size. You're going to have some speed down at this level. Although I think, you know, speed is something that, you know, I've had some kids at some smaller schools that had numbers, but, you know, the speed, you know, they just didn't have the speed to play in that league, man. So I think it comes down to really the speed and who you're playing against. Because size, you're going to find large people. Like, you can look in the MIAC and you can see some guys, you think, oh, man, that's a large human being. You know, and, you know, that's what the NFL is about, large people. But can you move? Who are you playing against? And then, you know, just your mental makeup. You know, you're playing against grown men, man, that are feeding families in the NFL. So, you know, some guys aren't really, you know, some guys aren't built for that, man. So it is tough coming from the Division III level.
Next up is Michael, who says, the NFL Hall of Fame class makes me think about if there is a D3 Hall of Fame. Do they have something like that?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, I don't think they do. I hate to say without necessarily not knowing, but I'm going to guess. I'm guessing that they don't because I haven't heard about it. But that's a good idea. I don't know even how something like that would even get started. So I don't know.
Lewis would like to know, what's the weirdest thing you've ever seen in sports?
The weirdest thing you've ever seen in sports? The weirdest thing? Wow, that's a good question. That kind of stumped me. The weirdest thing in sports, I'd probably have to say Tyson Holyfield. I'd probably have to say Tyson Holyfield. I saw Iron Mike Tyson bite the man's ear off, man. So that was a weird thing. Like, that was like a jaw-dropping, mouth open, like, did I really just see that? But that just happened. So I'd have to go Holyfield Tyson.
God, I'd forgotten about that. Holy cow.
Yeah.
and we'll bring that. Coach, why is it good to be a Piper?
Great to be a Piper. You know, we, again, like I said, our team, very super proud of our team and how they're handling this. I mean, they're getting their tails up in the morning. We got two kids out on the West Coast that have to get up at 6 a.m. And then these guys are working out at 8 a.m. And we got one kid out in Florida working out at 9 a.m. So, I mean, just the fact that they can get themselves together, they're working for one purpose. I mean, that just, it fires me up, man. You know, just to see those guys getting after it in the morning, so I'm super happy for them. And that's a really cool thing. And that lets me know that our guys generally care about each other and they want to see us do well this year. So I'd have to leave it at that, man. Just seeing our guys working out and getting after it is pretty cool.
That's awesome. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
All right. Talk to you next week.